I'll wrap this up with a question that both you and Kurt can respond to, and one that is probably of interest to everybody on this call. We still have over 300 people listening. So someone asked, how do you decide where to allocate those very scarce resources you've referred to between mitigation and adaptation planning and implementation? How do you make those kinds of decisions as you're heading into the future?
Well, this is Michaela. For us, really the big thing is where we've got overlap. And when we start to take a look at a lot of things, if it's a win-win-win scenario, if it's a, you know, I'm sorry to be jargony, but if it helps us to reduce emissions, if it creates some sort of opportunity to increase resiliency in a way, and maybe it saves us money, that kind of a strategy is probably ultimately going to be number one. Sometimes, though, you know, things might get bumped to the top because they're politically motivated. We have some rating criteria that we're going to end up using in our CIP that links back into some of our existing criteria for certain projects and those kinds of things. But ultimately, we built in flexibility and review, and so it's constantly changing every single year from year to year. But that's roughly how we do it. It's no different than, I guess, how we would end up doing our CIP program at the end of the day.
And I assume you do pursue both of them together. It's not like one goes before the other necessarily.
Well, it really depends on the project, too. I mean, sometimes we might elect to take more of a leadership role on something, so it might be more of a mitigation side project than perhaps an adaptation side, or even vice versa. Sometimes it might be a money loser rather than a money maker. But it's really dependent upon, you know, ultimately, is it going to move things further along in terms of some of the overarching principles within our community vision that we want to achieve? Will it move us closer to sustainability or not? So I know it's kind of a vague question, or at least answer, sorry, but there's so much more into it than I probably have time to get into. But maybe I could follow up with that person specifically offline.
Okay, thanks. Kurt, did you have a response to that?
Sure, and since I'm discussing this from a state perspective, I had the danger of getting a little more vague, but let me just start by talking about the information that we're trying to collect. We're hoping that can get resolved in part to trying to use the research and the vulnerability assessments to find the largest problem. I don't know from there if we approach the issue from an allocation of mitigation versus adaptation. I'd like to think that we look at the scale of the problem, how you address it, and then you could divide up if you address it as a mitigation or adaptation issues. Most of the cases, they feed off of each other. And
right.
It's just a matter of trying to find out how those interplay.
Well, thanks very much to both of our speakers, all three. One had to leave a little early, but I'll turn it back to Julia to close out the call today.
Great. Thanks, Catherine. And, yeah, I would also like to thank the speakers. These were really fantastic presentations, and I know that I learned a lot. I would also like to remind folks, I know there were several questions about where to find the presentations online. You can go to www.epatechforum.org. And everything, all the presentations, everything, background resources is all posted there at that site. And I also want to remind folks again that we have one more webcast in this series coming up on federal programs and resources for climate adaptation. And that is on January 13th from 2 to 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time.